Advent is a season of waiting. But waiting for what? The first believers would have had an immediate answer to that question. They were waiting for the coming of Jesus. Not that is his coming as a baby at Christmas, but waiting for his return, for his coming again, for what is known as his second coming. After Jesus had ascended to heaven, and while the disciples were still standing there watching him ascend, two angels appeared and told them that Jesus would return in the same way as he had left them. Jesus himself had told them that he would be coming back. He urged them to watch and pray, to keep awake, to be prepared and ready to meet him when he came. So seriously did some believers in the early church take this that they gave up their normal everyday work. And they did this so they could look out for him and be ready to greet him when they saw him. St. Paul tells them off for this and tells them to keep working while they wait and watch. However, as time went on, it became clear that Jesus wasn't going to return quite as soon as they hoped, and they had to adjust a little bit. Some people began to be worried when he didn't return and wondered whether in fact he had returned and they somehow had missed it. And St. Paul again has to tell them, no, when Jesus returns, you will know about it. Everyone will. But as time continued, there was no sign of Jesus returning. And the result was that some began to grumble and complain that the Lord was being slow in keeping his promise. And that is reflected in our second reading this week. It is St. Peter's turn this time to refute this. St. Peter points out that God's timetable is different to ours. We might not be patient in waiting for him, but it is because he is patient with us that he doesn't return. He wants to give us every chance to repent because, St. Peter tells us, after he's returned, that's it. No more chances. Well, the church kept this hope of Jesus' return alive, even when it felt that he would never come again. In recent years, however, many in the church have expressed the question somewhat differently. The emphasis now lying on the waiting. Not what are we waiting for, but what are we waiting for? What's the point? Why bother wait? And the answer we have given ourselves is that there isn't anything to wait for, at least not in the way the church has traditionally understood it. Maybe Jesus will return, maybe he won't. Who cares and why does it matter? Our hope surely now as believers is going to be with him when we die, not him coming to us while we're still alive. It is at our death that we believe we will meet Jesus, not at some indeterminate point in the future. What is more, because God is nice, we can all look forward to meeting Jesus, we reason. So we don't have to worry about the future. We can get on with living in the present. So that brings us to my second question this morning. What is it we're living for? It used to be said that how we live now in this life will affect what happens to us when we die and in the next. But we know better. Life is not a dress rehearsal, we tell ourselves. And nor is it some kind of test or preparation, we believe, for what will happen next. Life, in other words, we say, is not about waiting for our Lord's return and being ready for it, nor even is it about waiting for our death and being prepared for it. Life, we believe, is for living. And inasmuch as we still believe in God, we believe that's why he's given us life in the first place. Surely, if he's given us life, he expects us to make the most of it. Surely he wants us to be happy and fulfilled. And as long as I can be happy and fulfilled, then I'll do what I can to pass that happiness on to others. And so our focus now is very much on life in the here and now, on myself. And that's what God wants, right? Well, if it is what God wants, it's not what Jesus said and taught. Jesus told his disciples they were to lose their lives. They were to hate their lives in this world. He told his disciples they were to expect pain and suffering and rejection. He told them that they were not to worry about what people said about them or did to them here in this life, but to worry about what God would do to them in the life hereafter. It's common to hear people say that Jesus was a great teacher. You often hear it said that it's Jesus we should be listening to, not the church, not traditions. What they mean by this, of course, is that we should listen to those bits of Jesus' teaching that fit our own predetermined philosophy of life and leave out those bits that don't fit. If, however, we do want to listen to Jesus, what we should be living for is Jesus. We should be living for him. Jesus said, "Follow me. I am the way, the truth, and the life." Some of you have heard me talk about a religious sister in the States, Sister Teresa Alethea Noble, who is quite a presence on social media. Sister Teresa was being interviewed the other day, and she was talking about her own calling, how she was praying, "Lord, what do you want me to do in the future? What is the future? What does the future hold for me?" And she said it was as if God said to her, "Teresa, I am your future. I am your future." Living for Jesus means being his witnesses, witnessing to him while we wait for him and get ready to meet him. One of the buzzwords you hear a lot in the church is mission. So you will see printed on church notice boards or on websites, mission statements. Anglicans speak of the five marks of mission. The church, however, has only one mission, and that mission is to make Jesus known by the preaching of the gospel. It used to be that mission and evangelism were seen as being one and the same thing. Now you will hear people saying that evangelism is just one part of the church's mission. You even have church leaders saying that we shouldn't be evangelizing everyone. Not little church leaders like me, but big church leaders. So that we shouldn't be evangelizing, they tell us, Muslims and Jews, for example. But Jesus didn't say, "Go into the world and make disciples of some people." He said, "Go into the world and make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." All nations, all people, not some people. Which brings me to my third and final question. Today is Pledge Sunday. Today is the day when we commit ourselves and our resources to God for the year ahead. Today is the day we ask you to pledge to give for the year ahead. So the third question is this: what are we giving for? What are we giving for? It's a reasonable question. If we're asking you to give and to give generously over the year ahead, it's right that you should ask what it is that your money is for. I think most people assume it's for the cost of the vicar. Talent like this doesn't come cheap. The upkeep and running of our building needs to be paid for. We need money for maintenance and other costs, and that's what we think that we're giving money for. And yes, of course, we do need money for these things. But the money we're being asked to pledge to give today is not simply to keep the show on the road. It's not so there will be somewhere for us to come on a Sunday or to send our children to on a Sunday. The purpose of our giving is to further the church's mission, which is to obey Christ's command to make disciples of all nations by preaching the gospel. Everything else is secondary to that person. Yes, we need clergy. Yes, they need to be paid for. Yes, we need resources for our mission. We need a place to meet, and the place we meet in needs looking after, and all that costs money. But all too often, these justifiable needs become ends in themselves. And the consequences of this is that we judge success in mission by how many people are on the staff, by the size of the building, by the balance in the bank account, by how many people turn up each week. But the question we need to ask today on Pledge Sunday is whether we are being faithful in doing what Jesus told us to do. What are we waiting for? We are waiting for Jesus' return and for everyone to acknowledge him as Lord, for every knee to bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's what we're waiting for. What are we living for? We are living for Jesus, and we are living to make him known by how we live. What are we giving for? We're giving so that we as a church can faithfully preach the gospel and people be given the chance to come to repentance while there's still time. And so today, as we hear John the Baptist's words, that the one is coming who baptizes in the Holy Spirit, we pray that the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit will give us his Spirit, that we may be patient in waiting for him, that we may be faithful in living for him, that we may be committed in giving for him. And we pray that through our church, through Christ Church Kowloon Tong, people may come to know him who is Lord of all, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.